Translation. O lotus-eyed one, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When someone in distress
approaches
a great person,
his pleas
should never go in vain. Purport. Diti knew well that her request might be rejected because of the untimely situation. Diti knew well that her request might be rejected because of an untimely situation. But she pleaded that when there is an emergency or a distressful condition, there is no consideration of time or situation. But she pleaded that when there is an emergency or a distressful condition, then there is no consideration of time or situation. Hare Krishna. O lotus-eyed one, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When someone in distress approaches a great person, his plea should never go in vain. So, what is the context of this pastime? Diti, the good wife of Kashyapa Muni, is approaching him for union. So the wife is approaching the husband for union, physical union. Now, the time for union is not appropriate. Just like for every auspicious activity, there is an auspicious time. So union between husband and wife cannot happen frivolously at any point in time. The reason should be correct and the time also should be correct. So here we see that Diti is approaching Kashyapa Muni in a frivolous manner. Suddenly she wants to unite with the husband and she is requesting him, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When someone in distress approaches a great person, his plea should never go in vain. So he's requesting. Now, who is the husband? Kashyapa Muni. Highly realized person. So Kashyapa Muni, it is mentioned, is the son of Marichi. Marichi is the son of Lord Brahma. And Kashyapa Muni is the son of Marichi. So he is in one sense, he is a grandson of Lord Brahma. And Kashyapa Muni is not an ordinary personality. He's a Muni. Muni means one who has also control, tremendous control over the senses. Otherwise one cannot become Muni. And he is a very powerful personality. He is the head of the demigods as well as the demons. And to attain that position, one has to be, no ordinary person can attain that position. And to be a head of the demigods, one has to have reasonable sense control. He has high amount of material strength, being a Muni. Especially if we also see the charitra of other Munis, Kardama Muni, another very powerful Muni. In fact, Kardama Muni was so powerful, he could create a planet for his wife. So very, very powerful Munis. So despite being such an elevated, powerful personality, Kardama Muni succumbed to the request or pleas of his wife. Even he could not refuse his wife. He tried a little bit, but it did not work. He succumbed eventually. So he succumbed to the temptation of union with his wife at a very inappropriate time of the day. And that led to the birth of the demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So it is mentioned that
Lord Shiva is the deliverer of the most fallen persons. The deliverer of ghostly personalities, ghosts and goblins. The deliverer of those who are steeped in the mode of ignorance. So Lord Shiva is looking for an opportunity to deliver these people, because a ghost does not have a body, and one needs a body to even get liberation, what to speak of bhakti. Or even to enjoy fruitive activities, one needs a physical body. So Lord Shiva is kind enough to release these ghosts into the semen of the father and then the womb of the mother of those people who unite at a very inappropriate time. So then what happens is, then later on the parents blame that, oh, I have got such a demonic son or a daughter. But when the person unites, then the thought is not given to that. So this is a very important Shastric point that is coming here. So Diti is approaching Kashyapa Muni, and Kashyapa Muni knows all these things, but still he succumbs to the demands of his wife. So why? How can Kashyapa Muni succumb? So what is the understanding for us here? So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14, Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya maam eva ye prapadyante maya metantarantite. Two ways of understanding this is, the material energy of the Lord is more powerful than the power of any muni, because it is the power of the, directly the energy of the Lord. So no muni or nobody, unless one is in the stage of prema bhakti, there are traces of anarthas till the stage of prema bhakti. Only in prema bhakti do all the anarthas go away. So nobody can take one's advancement for granted, because we can only pray to the Lord. Mama maya duratyaya maam eva ye prapadyante maya metantarantite. The only way of overcoming this material energy is not through our own prowess, but by humbly surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord and taking his shelter. Only by bhakti can one easily cross this temptation. So I was hearing a lecture of Bhakti Charu Maharaj a few days back. So he was mentioning that Kashyapa Muni, no doubt he was a great muni, but he was very high on the Karma Kanda and the Jnana platform. So if you see the ratio of his Jnana to Bhakti, the Jnana aspect was pretty high. So people who are generally, you know, following Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, he mentioned that the issue will, both of them will have problem. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanti. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shantaha. So everyone else, whoever, other than one who is in Nishkama Bhakti, everyone is going to be, is very vulnerable in this material world to a fall down, susceptible to fall down. So because the issue in both these is the karmi's desire to enjoy the material world, so always their meditation is on the material world, and the jnani's desire to escape the material world, so again their focus is on the material world. So the central focus is the material world and not Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Whereas a devotee's central focus is Lord Krishna's lotus feet and his service. Therefore, Narayana Parasarve na kutaschana vibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshwa apitulyata darshanam. It doesn't matter for a devotee. So therefore, because of the high component of jnana, then there is the vulnerability to fall down. So we have been advised to develop a higher taste, not a taste for bhukti or taste for mukti. We have been advised to develop a higher taste. Param drishtva nivartante. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj was explaining that if one has a delicious plate of tasty prasadam in front of himself, why will he go and eat rotten food from somewhere, from the gutter, from the garbage, if one has tasty prasadam? Why will we eat or drink abominable things if we have this taste? So only when we don't have tasty prasadam, or we have not tried to even develop a taste for prasadam or higher things, only then the lower tastes will allure us, and then we will get trapped. So as practicing devotees, we too may struggle sometimes with lower taste. It's not, though yes, we all want to develop the higher taste, but sometimes we still struggle with lower tastes, primarily because our sadhana is very weak. We also do not take enough quality association.
So, without quality association, sadhana will not go up.
Quality association means taking association of very, very advanced devotees in the Vapu form, and if that is not available, at least daily in the Vani form. That is very important. Worst is sometimes we may end up taking wrong association. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 31, Lord Kapila's instruction on the movement of living entities, there is a famous verse which says, Na tathasya bhaven moho, bandascha anya prasangataha, yoshit sangad yatha pumsa, yatha tat sangi sangataha. Which means, out of all the attachments in this material world, the attraction between male and female is the topmost. And that keeps the whole world moving. All activities of economic development and so-called religiosity, everything is centered around that. This principle of Mithuni Bhav. So, but it said that the attachment, more than attachment to a woman, attachment of a man who is very attached to a woman is even more dangerous. Right? Attachment to a woman, at least one can give up. But if we are attached to a man who is constantly goading us in the wrong direction, then that is even more dangerous. So sometimes sadhana can become weak simply because we are not associating with the right people. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj continues, he says that acharyas have laid very high standards for us. Lord Krishna has laid very high standards anyway, but acharyas have at least made it diluted a little bit. They have made it easy for us, not diluted, in fact, they have made it easy for us, understanding that we are members of Kali Yuga. But still those standards are very high. It's not cheap going back to Godhead. So acharyas have laid these standards, so we cannot escape these standards just saying that I am not very advanced, therefore acharyas can follow Naishtika Brahmachari or celibacy even after marriage, but how can we follow? After all, we are all fallen souls. So he says no, that cannot be the approach. We cannot escape saying we are not advanced. He mentions that mercy from the Lord certainly comes to a devotee, but only to that devotee who sincerely fights in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, who is engaged in a sincere battle to fight against his or her anarthas. So the sincerity of fight must be there. And he gives a very simple yet very profound example. He says, who are we? What is our goal? Our goal is to become perfect devotees. Is it not? Yes, it is to become perfect devotees. What is the goal of a football player? To become a top class football player. So, to become a top class football player, how does it happen? It happens through intense practice. Many times a football player will hurt his knees, go to hospital, multiple surgeries. But still, the soccer player who wants to become number one in the world does not give up. He continues despite all getting bruised and injured, gets up, lifts his game, again keeps fighting. So that is when one does that, then the mercy comes of the Lord. Now, originally, in the scriptures it is mentioned actually that sex is actually spiritual. Sex is divine. The purpose of sex was to beget progeny. That it was Lord Brahma's instruction to Manu to beget, to have sex and beget progeny. So how can Lord Brahma give a materially contaminated instruction? So sex is divine. So the purpose of sex was to produce children who are Krishna conscious and deliver more souls. And as an incentive, actually people were so realized that they did not want to have this. Okay, so there was an incentive given that as an incentive to produce children, you will have some enjoyment in this whole activity. So the approach was exactly opposite. You have to produce, but you're not interested, so I'll give you some enjoyment along with that. But today what has happened, the enjoying sex has become the primary purpose. And producing children is not even second, sometimes it's a no-no. It's only, can we not enjoy just like that? What is that? Double income, dink. Double income, no kid. It's become like that. So, this is called as Mithuni Bhav. Even in the pastime of Yayati, which we are currently studying as a part of our Bhakti Vedanta course, in the 9th canto, Yayati saw his wife in the well, his future wife. And then he married, what was his name? Devyani. Devyani. He saw Devyani in the well. He picked her up from the well, got attracted to her, right? And then he got into the habit of continuous association, physical association with his wife. Then when Devahuti's friend Sharmishta approached Yayati, that time also he united with her. But Prabhupada writes, this time Yayati was behaving like a Kshatriya, because when a woman approaches you for progeny, that time you are allowed, the Kshatriya was allowed at that time to give her a progeny. But again Yayati goes back to Diti and again continues the same thing. To such an extent that eventually, even when he is cursed that he will lose his youth, then he exchanges his youth with his son so that he can still continue enjoying with. So this is the nature of sex desire. So pumsasthriya mithuni bhavam etam. So this mithuni bhav, the desire for union with the opposite sex, is so powerful that it keeps it keeps pulling us down from all our attempts to elevate ourselves in spiritual life. So one has to be very careful. So here, coming back to this verse, we see that Kashyapa Muni succumbed to the allurements of his wife, Diti. Though he tried to control himself, but he succumbed. But interestingly enough, today this verse coincides with another personality who did not succumb. Who was the person? Srila Haridas Thakur, whose disappearance day is today. He had the same allurement, right? In fact, it was not from the wife, it was from Maya Devi personified. The most beautiful woman. Beauty personified came in front of him. So it's interesting that today we are discussing this verse, and it is also Srila Haridas Thakur's disappearance day. So we see a case of failure and we see a case of success also. So Haridas Thakur, when Maya Devi personally came in front of him, not only did Haridas Thakur not succumb, on the other hand, he managed to change the consciousness of the person who has come in with that desire in the first place, and made her a pure devotee of the Lord. So today is his disappearance day. So we will invest some time in understanding what are the key lessons from Haridas Thakur's life that all of us can learn from. And it's very interesting. Very advanced personality. So we will take some snippets from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, chapter 11, which is titled as the disappearance of Srila Haridas Thakur. Now, interestingly again, this chapter has got 108 verses exactly. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes that one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Jagannath Mahaprasadam through his servant Govinda and told Govinda that go and deliver it to Srila Haridas Thakur. Now these are the remnants of Lord Jagannath, Mahaprasadam of Lord Jagannath. So as soon as he arrived there, he saw that Srila Haridas Thakur was very old and infirm at that stage physically. He was lying down. He was lying down and slowly, softly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. He was chanting. He was lying down and chanting. Very old. So the verse goes, what does he say? Govinda, when he sees Haridas Thakur like that, he says, Govinda kahe, utho asi karaha bhojan. Utho, please get up. Karaha bhojan. Please honor Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Haridasa kahe, aji karimu langhan. So what Haridas Thakur is replying to him? Aji karimu langhan. So Govinda is saying, please eat. And Haridas Thakur says, no, today I will fast. So he asks, why? Why are you fasting today? So Haridas Thakur replies to Govinda, says, Sankhya Kirtan Pure Nahi Ke Manta Khaiva, which means that I have not finished my prescribed number of rounds. Therefore, I'm going to fast today. Now, when we hear this, the first question comes, you know, are we expected to, you know, imitate Haridas Thakur? Should we not eat at all till we chant 16 rounds, no? Especially for householders. Is it practical every day of our life? We try, but sometimes not. So many times we can try to take such high standards. For us it's high standards. But sometimes we may not be able to keep up. So Acharyas mentioned that whenever such pastimes are there, where we believe that, you know, will I be able to even come up to this level? Rather than, and sometimes when we see that, we say, no, okay, it was Haridas Thakur, so I cannot do it, so forget it. So that is not the approach. So we should not imitate the Acharyas, at the same time we should not also give up. So we have been advised to emulate the Acharyas by taking the key principle out of that particular pastime. So we have to derive the key principle, what Haridas Thakur is trying to teach us. So that is the lesson number one for us from Haridas Thakur's pastime. What is the principle that Haridas Thakur is talking about here? That one must give highest priority to chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Now that principle has to be applied in different situations in our own life. But first priority in a day should be given to chanting. After that, everything else. Sometimes Prabhupada also said that, you know, after Prabhupada used to finish the round, you know, there is a statement, Prabhupada said, now I can do anything that I want. You know? Any nonsense, he said, right? Any damn thing. I can do any damn thing like that. So Srila Prabhupada also emphasized that for us. The priority must be given to chanting. Because that is our Yoga Dharma. That is the single most activity which is going to, most important activity that is going to enable us to realize our own Siddha Swaroop and then go back to Godhead. If we are not prioritizing that, then we may do everything else perfectly, but then the impact will not be there if the chanting is inattentive. So first priority is for chanting. So the essence of the instruction has to be taken. Just like, for example, Shastras may so many things. Shastras say that a brahmachari, for example, should not eat till the spiritual master gives permission. Now, for example, the spiritual master may be in New Zealand, you know, or the spiritual master may be in America, you know, and there may be a different time zone here. So we cannot call the spiritual master when he is sleeping and say, Maharaj, can you please give permission? I want to eat. And how many brahmacharis will call? You know? So it is not practical. So whatever is mentioned there, we cannot directly imitate and then try to apply. So therefore, emulate the principle. So therefore, what is the principle here in this case is that Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of Krishna of ISKCON, he has given us very clearly the standards, saying that yes, do the morning program, sit along with devotees and honor prasadam. So as long as we do that in a timely manner, that is as good as honoring that instruction, that it is coming from spiritual masters. So adhere to the program given by the acharya. Or even for a grihastha. A grihastha also should not honor prasadam. What is a grihastha expected to do ideally? Grihastha should go out of his house and yell, anyone hungry? No. And then if even one person is hungry, then the grihastha will invite. Now if we start doing that, I don't know, in Australia probably nobody will come. They'll say, this guy is crazy. But in India, if you do that, our house will become dharamshala. So there will be eternal queue, you know, because there are enough impoverished people there. So we will never come out of it. So therefore, the essence of the instruction has to be taken. So therefore, as long as a grihastha understands that the essence of this instruction is to invite brahmacharis home and feed them, then that is a good understanding. And then honor prasadam, like that. Or invite senior devotees, feed them, and then after they finish, then we honor the remnants. So the Haridas Thakur is teaching us that essence, that we must give priority to chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That's lesson number one. What happens then? Now Govinda has asked Haridas Thakur this, so Haridas Thakur is responding. He said, Sankhya Kirtan Pure Nahi Kemata Khaiba. Sankhya Kirtan Pure Nahi Kemata Khaiba. But then he says, Mahaprasada Anyacha Kema Ke Kemate Upekshiva. Which means what? Mahaprasade ani achat ke mate upekshiva.
My Bengali is not good, so please pardon me.
So he says that, look, I have not finished my rounds, but at the same time, how can I not honor Jagannath Mahaprasadam? That is also important. So this is lesson number two he gives us, that how when we are across two contradictory services,
both of which are services, bona fide services,
how should we deal with that situation? So he is teaching us that. So he says that, yes, chanting my prescribed rounds is my eternal service, but honoring Mahaprasadam is also my service. That is also for the pleasure of the Lord. So we also see in Krishna Leela, Mother Yashoda is having this dilemma. She is feeding Lord baby Krishna, and then the stove is there, and then the milk is now overflowing. So she has to take a decision. Should I continue feeding Krishna, or should I go and do that? Because the milk which is boiling there is also meant for preparing milk sweets for the Lord. So she takes her decision. She puts down Lord Krishna and then goes and switches off the water. Not gas, but can't even imagine in Kali Yuga water. My mind is still going like this. Sure, she must not have done that. Okay. So how to understand this? Whenever there is a dilemma like this, both are genuine services, what to do, this or that? So then Lord Krishna's instruction comes. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti budpurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yanamam upayantite. Then the Lord will give instruction. Because a devotee is not struggling. Should I go for Mangalarti or should I sleep? That is not a struggle. No. The struggle is between two services. In such case, then the Lord will give us intelligence. Not whether I should apply to, you know, Accenture or IBM because of the higher, you know, and then dadami buddhi yogam tam yanamam. Not like that. We have to understand our. So in such dilemma, then the Lord give us the intelligence by which we can serve Him the best. Like that. So, Yashoda is thinking, my milk is always there. But that milk will not be there for preparing milk sweets. So Lord Krishna herself gives us that intelligence and she goes there. So, but obviously we are not Mother Yashoda. So for us, we have been advised that whenever we have such dilemmas, then we have to consult senior devotees or the spiritual master and take such decisions. We should not rely on the guidance from our own heart, because usually guidance comes from our tricky mind. The mind tricks us, saying that, okay, don't do both services, because you have a dilemma. We'll do something else altogether. So the lesson number two is how to make these decisions. So Haridas Thakur is showing us this. Lesson number three in the next verse coming. So now before we go to lesson number three, in this Antyalila, towards the end, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is talking about Srila Haridas Thakur, a very interesting point. He says that Haridas Thakur had two characteristics which are unique. It is generally very rarely found in one person. Of course, all our acharyas had it. But how many acharyas are there in this world? How many people in the world are acharya level? So in that sense, he had two characteristics. He was Parama Vidwan and as well as Mahabhagavat. So this is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was both, and that is a pretty deadly combination. Not deadly in one sense, deadly in the spiritual sense. It's a very, very rare combination. Both Parama Vidwan as well as Mahabhagavat. Because usually, Parama Vidwan, they have high affiliation for knowledge. And they have high knowledge. And Mahabhagavats are completely indifferent to knowledge. They are Mahabhagavats, no doubt. In one sense, they have the knowledge, but they are Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Mahabhagavat. So, Haridas Thakur balanced both this. That is lesson number three. Parama Vidwan and Mahabhagavat. Now, because he is a Mahabhagavat, Lord Krishna guided him from within. What to do? Should I have not finished my prescribed rounds. At the same time, I can't dishonor Jagannath Mahaprasadam. So, as a Parama Vidwan, he knew how to apply the scriptures in his life. Pretty much like Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj also went through the same situation, right? So Bali Maharaj also did not, should I break my fast or should I not break? Should I wait for Durvasa Muni to come? Sorry, not Bali Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. I'm very sorry. So Ambarish Maharaj also went through the same pastime. Should I break my fast or should I wait for Durvasa Muni to come? So what did he do eventually? Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Took a little bit of water and then broke his fast. Like that. Of course, Durvasa Muni could not understand that. That's a different issue. We will not discuss that in today's class. But we see similar situation, how he handled that. So, what is Haridas Thakur doing here? Eta boli mahaprasadad karila vandan eka rancha lanatara karila vakshan. Which means that eta boli, saying like this, mahaprasad karila vandan. What did he do, Haridas Thakur? He paid obeisances to mahaprasadam, vandan. And then, eka rancha lana tara karila bhakshan. He just took a morsel. Not the whole quantity. Took a morsel from there. So, and that is a very important lesson for all of us. So, therefore, which is very much similar to what Srila Prabhupada taught us. That prasadam is not to be eaten, but to be honored. That is why it is called as prasada sevaya. Bhakti Vinod Thakur called it as prasada sevaya. So, Haridas Thakur is teaching us that lesson number 3. Another incident from Chaitanya Charitamrita on this Mahaprasadam is when Lord Chaitanya went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. At that time, he was still cultivating Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So, he went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and one day he took Jagannath Mahaprasadam and went at his doorstep. And then he knocked and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya opened and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that prasadam. Now he knew that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a kadak brahmana. No? Like that. So, kadak brahmana will not eat, pakka brahmana will not eat without taking his bath. So, Lord Chaitanya went and he knew that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord knows everything, but he has not taken bath. So, he went to Jagannath Mahaprasadam to take. And to Mahaprabhu's own surprise, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, how he responded, he said, Krishna, Krishna. And then he immediately accepted that Mahaprasadam and started honoring it. And Lord Chaitanya, in fact, asked him, but you have not taken your bath. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him that, no, for Mahaprasadam, there are no rules. Whenever Mahaprasadam is given, it must be immediately honored. I remember I went to Bombay last year, and one of the senior devotees, you know, he's a dentist, so I had gone to him, and he gave Mahaprasadam. So I just took it and put it in my bag. And immediately he said, honor it right now. He said, Mahaprasadam, whenever you are given, you must honor then and there. Immediately. Like that. Of course, you can honor some and then put it in the bag. Not that then you can take that, you know, chance and then, you know, okay. Not like that. Okay. So, that's another instance. So, Haridas Thakur as Parama Vidwan also knew this. Another instance is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So whenever Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came across Mahaprasadam, what did he used to do? So it is mentioned that he will first put the Mahaprasadam on the asana. Then he will do prostrated obeisances to it. Then he will circumambulate the prasadam and then take achaman. Do achaman and then take a bit of that Mahaprasadam. Obviously very high standards. I know what everyone is thinking. 9 o'clock we will know. Okay. So that is pretty far out for all of us. In fact, once it's mentioned that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was a guest they had invited and they had prepared very juicy rasagullas. Okay. And the guest was, you know, just going on and on with the rasagulla. Right? And he was enjoying. And then after he finished, you know, he was completely satisfied. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, how was this? So he said, fantastic, I really enjoyed it. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Thakur mentioned that it is not for us to enjoy prasadam. The principle is that prasadam should enjoy us. That is the principle. So, we see that Haridas Thakur here is also teaching us that principle, reinforcing that principle for us. Yet another pastime, this was in the United States, in one of the temple in the US, I don't know which temple, but in this temple, there was two Americans who came to this temple and they were given Mahaprasadam. Now, obviously they were not regular devotees, so they took it and they said, thank you very much, and then, you know, the lady kept it on the windowsill. And then after some time, she forgot all about it. So within a few minutes, went to, you know, take that Mahaprasadam, and what was there? It was gone. So she went home and then she realized that she has forgotten, she has lost her diamond ring. So she went next day to the temple and to her surprise she found the diamond ring was lying in the same place. But Mahaprasadam was gone. So she told the devotees, I now realize what the Hare Krishna devotees value more in the temple. So, this was the lesson number 3 from Haridas Thakur. Now what happens after this? So, little bit of Mahaprasadam Haridas Thakur has taken. Now next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes himself to Siddha Bakul. And then he asks Haridas Thakur, he says, Haridas Thakur, how are you? Are you Shustha? Shustha means, in Bengali, are you? Okay, are you well? Like that. So, Haridas Thakur offered his dandavat pranam, namaskars, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he says, Namaskara kari tenha kaila nivedan sharira sustha hai mora ashustha buddhiman. So, what he says? Haridas Thakur, he first he did namaskara kari. He paid respects to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says, Sharira Sustha Haya, which means my material body is very well. And was it very well? He was lying down and chanting. He was infirm in his old age, but he still says, my material body is very well, Ashustha Buddhiman, but my mind and intelligence is sick. Haridas Thakur is saying that. He's not well. Body is well, but mind and intelligence are not well. So, when he said that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him, why? What is your disease? He asks. So Haridas Thakur is saying, my disease is that I am not able to finish my rounds. So this is lesson number 4, which we learn from Haridas Thakur's pastimes, that real health is not of the body, but of the soul. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prioritize the devotees. For devotees, devotees must first take care of their health. So acharyas have prescribed for us that we must take care of their health, but we are talking about very, very advanced personalities who are completely beyond the bodily platform. For that, it doesn't matter what health they are in. Like for example, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. So even at that, you know, with advanced melanoma, which is one of the most painful cancers, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj showed us how to continue very happily in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the disease of a sadhaka, the greatest disease of a sadhaka is when a sadhaka or an aspirant is struggling to chant 16 rounds. If we are not chanting 16 rounds and we are struggling, then we are in a diseased condition of life. That was Srila Prabhupada's comment. In fact, Srila Prabhupada once went to Los Angeles temple and he saw a picture of Gaur Kishore Das, Babaji Maharaj, who was sitting, and I'm not sure whether it was Gaur Kishore, but probably it was Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj who was sitting, and he was, he was in a bent form, the typical picture of, we see of Jagannath Das Babaji, and he was bending down and chanting. Srila Prabhupada immediately called everyone and said, look, at that age also, he is giving priority to his chanting, he is completely oblivious to his own body, and he is trying to chant. So, Haridas Thakur is teaching us that true well-being for us is our spiritual well-being. Now what does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Prabhu kahe, vriddha haila sankhya alpakar. Vriddha haila means Haridas Thakur, you have become very old. Sankhya alpakar, why don't you reduce your number of rounds? For us, it will be nectar to our ears. One advantage of coming back to the material world is by the time we, you know, come back 200, 300 years down the line, then the, probably, you know, the standard would be, you know, everyone must stand at least four rounds, minimum four rounds for initiation. So, you know. So Mahaprabhu is telling, Vriddha Haila Sankhya Alpakar, reduce your rounds. Siddha Deha Tumi Sadhane Agraha Kenakar. Don't do. You are already a Siddha Purusha. You already attained Krishna Prem. So for you, there is no prescribed rounds. Now you can reduce your rounds. You are already spiritually perfected. So that is lesson number 5 from Srila Haridas Thakur pastime. That the Lord, this time the focus is the Lord. The Lord is now playing the role of Bhakta Vatsal. He is trying to make it easy for his devotee. The Lord, when he sees that a devotee is sincerely performing his sadhana, but has a constraint, then the Lord understands the practical constraint of the devotee and absorbs the sincere intentions of the devotee. That is why he is called as Bhavagrahi Janardhana. So Lord Krishna is a God of flexibility in that sense. Even when Sanatana Goswami was doing his parikrama at a very elderly age, then what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell him? He gave him a shila and told him that you just do it thrice and it is as good as you have done parikrama. Or the Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath deity is the only deity of Lord Krishna with a flute where he is in a sitting position. Last year we had gone to Jagannath Puri. We had the fortune of witnessing, of taking darshan. Very beautiful deity. Now why is he sitting down? Lord Krishna is sitting like this and playing flute, which is never there. Because originally Tota Gopinath was worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit. And because Gadadhar Pandit had become very old and he was struggling to worship, then he was almost going to give it to another Brahmana priest to worship. So Lord came and told him, no, I want worship only from you. If for that reason I have to sit, I will sit. So the deity from standing position came to sitting position. So Gadadhar Pandit need not, stand up, bend, and from the sitting posture he can worship. So that is the Lord's feature as Bhakta Vatsal. So here also the Lord is coming similarly to Haridas Thakur and he is telling him that why don't you now reduce your number of rounds. So now obviously Lord will always tell this to the devotee. But a devotee is not expected to take advantage. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that even if the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally tells the devotee, a devotee doesn't stop his Krishna conscious activities at all. A devotee still tells the Lord, this is one thing, my dear Lord, that I cannot follow. Please don't tell me to give up your shelter. Gauranga tumhi more daya na chadiyo. So never, don't give me any instruction by which I have to give up your shelter. So this is lesson number 5. And then finally, lesson number 6 from Srila Haridas Thakur's pastime. So Lord Chaitanya continues his dialogue. He says, Loka nishtarite tomara avatar namera mahima loke karila prachar. So Lord Chaitanya is saying that your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glory of the holy name of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya is now revealing who is, what is that incarnation? Who is Srila Haridas Thakur? Lord Brahma. So Lord Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling him, your role in this incarnation is to deliver people in general. You have sufficiently preached, you have been Namacharya now. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada also explains in the purport that Haridas Thakur is an avatar of Lord Brahma. Now, though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told all these things, told Haridas Thakur, now you are an incarnation, but we still see the humility with which Haridas Thakur responds to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, there are three aspects of Srila Haridas Thakur's humility, which is lesson number 6. The first one is humility The first aspect of humility is one always considers oneself as servant of servant. That is first aspect of humility. The second aspect of humility is whatever one achieves in bhakti or whatever one gets, one always assumes that one does not deserve it. But it has come because of causeless grace of the Lord. It might have still come out of spiritual sukriti, but still a devotee always thinks it has come out of causeless mercy of the Lord. And the third aspect of humility is always thinking that I am not the doer. One is considering oneself as servant of servant, one is considering everything as the result of causeless mercy, and the third aspect of humility is that I am not the doer, whereas I am only an instrument, nimitta matra. So how does Srila Haridas Thakur demonstrate these principles? So the first one of servant. Now, Haridas Thakur is none other than Lord Brahma. So from taking the primary ingredients of the primary creation and engaged in the secondary creation, from that role, he has come down to this role. From Brahma, he has now come down to being born in a very low family. So he has accepted that also as his service. So from that height to this depth, in one sense it's not depth, it's a greater height, but still from a material point of view, if one sees from the position of a secondary creator to the position of a person who is born in a very low family, so Haridas Thakur accepted that service which the Lord gave him. And in fact, both services require different skill sets. The service of creation requires high degree of mode of passion and managerial skills. And here, it requires exactly the opposite. Sitting down, high level of brahminical qualities, mode of goodness, and what to make a mode of goodness? Mode of pure goodness. So, we see Haridas Thakur is easily able to adapt to that situation. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that humility is the willingness to do whatever the Lord requires us to do at any point in time. For example, Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is Vishakha as well as Arjuna. So, as in his role of Arjuna, what was satisfying to the Lord? That the Lord speak and Arjuna hear. In his role as Ramananda Rai, what gave pleasure to the Lord? That Ramananda Rai speaks and the Lord hears. So, a devotee can go to both these extents to serve the Lord. So, there is no choice. Lord, whichever way. If your pleasure is in you speaking, I hearing, no problem. If your pleasure is in I speaking, you hearing, no problem. Because at the end of the day, my duty is only to give pleasure to you. So, Haridas Thakur, we can see from Lord Brahma to this role. So, both the roles he has taken. So, that's one aspect of humility. You know? Servant, being the servant of the servant. The second aspect is not considering that one deserves something, but everything coming out of causeless mercy. So, this is demonstrated in Haridas Thakur's sentence. He says, Hina jati janma mora nindya ka lever, hina karme ratta muni adhama pamar. Which means, Haridas Thakur is telling Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my birth is in a low malecha family. My body is abominable. I am the most fallen person. I am unseeable and I am untouchable. But still you have accepted me out of your causeless mercy. Though I am born in a malecha family. Though I am born in a malecha family and I am so fallen, yet Advaita Acharya, when he did the Shraddha Patra, he gave me the first honor of Shraddha Patra amidst all other Brahmins, Brahmanas who were sitting there. So many people were sitting there, no, elevated personalities. But the honor was first given to Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur doesn't take it as his right because of his spiritual advancement. He says, though I am so fallen, by your desire and mercy, Lord Chaitanya, because of that, I am getting all these things. So he has not forgotten that. And then he calls himself as Asprishya. Asprishya means what? Untouchable. So Haridas Thakur is saying, I am untouchable. Once when one of the acharyas in ISKCON, he was lecturing, he said, even the Gaudiya Vaishnavas consider Haridas Thakur as untouchable. And everyone was, what is this? No, such a elevated acharya, how can you call it as him as untouchable? So he clarified that untouchable by Maya. In that sense, he is untouchable. So he clarified, yes, he is untouchable in whichever way you see. Untouchable is his glorification in that sense. So the second aspect of humility is not considering that I deserve anything, but everything is coming because of causeless mercy of the Lord. And the final aspect of humility is not considering oneself as the doer. So Haridas Thakur is conversing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saying, it is my desire, my dear Lord, it is my desire that this mortal coil that I am in falls off, that I leave this body before I see your disappearance. So this is his prayer. Just like Kolavecha Sridhar also prayed. He had, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what is your desire? So here is, Haridas Thakur is saying, let me leave my body before, I don't want to be here to see you leaving. I cannot bear that. So let me leave my mortal coil. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is countering back to him saying, why are you speaking like this? Without you and all devotees, how will I be able to enjoy happiness? Because my happiness is important. How will I be happy if you are speaking like this? So Haridas Thakur responds to him saying, you have been very kind to me, my dear Lord, but do not create such an illusion. Don't try to trick me. Do not create such an illusion. Mora shiromani katha katha mahashay tomara lila rasahaya koti bhakta hai. So what is it if I go? Tomara lila sahaya koti bhakta hai. If I, one Haridas Thakur goes, what happened? Nothing. You have koti, you have countless devotees who are glorious, who can assist you in your pastimes. So Haridas Thakur never considered himself as the doer, just a nimitta matra, just one insignificant instrument. And he says, if an insect like me dies, what will the universe lose? You are choosing me as an insignificant instrument, and that is fine for me in this lifetime. That is good enough, he says. And then the next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Haridas Thakur again. Haridas Thakur holds Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet on his chest. And amidst the loud chanting of all the devotees surrounding him, chanting very loudly, Haridas Thakur, while beholding the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, leaves his body. Just like Bhishma Dev left his body in the battlefield of Kurukshetra while beholding the four-armed form of Lord Narayan, or Krishna in the form of Lord Narayan. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami summarizes this pastime in the rest of the chapter, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him an audience, gave Haridas Thakur an audience, blessed him with the touch of the lotus feet, of his own lotus feet on the chest of Haridas Thakur when he left his body. Not only that, when Haridas Thakur left his body, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the body of Srila Haridas Thakur and started dancing in that body. And then finally, with his own hands, he bathed the body, put sand on the body, and with his own hands built the tomb also of Srila Haridas Thakur. Not only that, after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with all his associates went around begging in the market of Jagannath Puri, begging for prasadam, and personally the Lord begged prasadam, organized the festival, and personally served everyone in the festival. So much was Haridas Thakur dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is mentioned, the Shruti Phal is, whoever hears this pastime of Haridas Thakur's disappearance attentively, whoever hears this narration, undoubtedly will fix his mind firmly in devotional service to Lord Krishna. This is a blessing we all get from Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami for having heard this past time. So, in summary, what are the lessons that we learn from Haridas Thakur's pastime? Lesson number one, not to imitate the acharyas, but to emulate them, taking the essential principles. Haridas Thakur taught lesson number two, how to resolve a dilemma when it comes between two contradicting services. Lesson number three, how to not eat but honor Mahaprasadam. Lesson number four, what is the true well-being of a person? Well-being of the soul or the well-being of the body? Lesson number five, how the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. The Lord always tries to come and facilitate the devotional service of his devotee, but the devotee doesn't take advantage of the flexibility given by the Lord and still is firm. Lesson number six was the three aspects of Haridas Thakur's humility. What are those? Being dasanudas, not considering that I deserve anything and not considering oneself as the doer. So, and after Haridas Thakur did this past time and towards the end, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him with darshan, his own darshan. He blessed him with sparshan. Sparshan means with his own touch of his body. He blessed him with nartan. Nartan means Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of Haridas Thakur, personally put the sand on the samadhi and also led the entire festival mahotsav of the disappearance of Srila Haridas Thakur. So on this day, we beg to Srila Haridas Thakur and to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to all the senior Vaishnavas and the Acharyas and the Goswamis and to Srila Prabhupada that we get some taste, that Haridas Thakur, some bit of the taste that he had for chanting of the holy names of the Lord, some taste for serving, like Lord, what Srila Haridas Thakur served, and also, little bit being greedy, let us also pray that when we leave our body, that we are surrounded by Vaishnavas, loudly chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Haridas Thakur Mahashay ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
We'll end the class here. Are there any questions or comments or corrections? Yes.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class. On behalf of everyone, I have a small question. If you are very tired and sleepy and all that, and if the rounds are not finished, are you allowed to do while lying home? Why am I asking this question? Because I heard Marcus Goswami once said, if you are chanting lying down, then the rounds are not counted. So this is the dilemma. So I thought you can tell us what is the event in your shastras.
Shastras. So I'll probably pass on this question to Prana Prabhu. You have a question? Yeah.
So, without becoming proud, how does one develop confidence that, I mean, of course we are not on the level of Haridas Thakur, but if the Lord Vatsala towards pure devotees, even, it's like he's even going to be like Bhakta Vatsala for us as well. So how do we develop that confidence without pride? And and we remain fearless.
By endeavoring sincerely. How do we become confident of the protection of the Lord? Right? That He will protect us also in His Bhaktavatsala future.
Yeah,
exactly. By endeavoring sincerely. By endeavoring sincerely, then only then we can so again, if you look back, what are the symptoms of surrender? Anukulesa sankalpa pratikulesa varjanam goptritve varanam tatha rakshishiti sa vishwaso. And then karpanya. So we will, at the end of the day, we know within our hearts whether we are struggling sincerely or not.
We can tell so many things, but
we know within our heart. If our struggle is not sincere, we will ourselves know that I cannot stand in front of the Lord and ask for any mercy because I'm not even struggling. Like you know, earlier we, you know, once we were discussing, when we say na janam na dhanam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, do we mean it? What if we actually mean that prayer and actually Lord takes away our dhanam? So at the deceased state, at least that I am in currently, I can't even pray sincerely to the Lord. In fact, it is quite the opposite. Lord, you know, give me enough dhanam so that I can do bhakti without, you know. Don't take away my job. So, it's a prayers of the acharyas are, you know, it's a very high prayer. You know. Shikshastakam is Radharani's mood actually. You know, it's the highest prayer. So, but we still pray for the pleasure of acharyas and so that we will develop some purification. But actually, if you see, we don't mean these prayers. Similarly, when we endeavor, we know best whether we are sincerely endeavoring or not. The others may say, Prabhu, you are running with so many buckets here and there, you know, very advanced devotee, you are serving so much, Prabhu, how do you manage, you know, all that. People will say so many things. But at the end of the day, we know perfectly. And at home, our good wives will also know what we are. Yesterday only I was discussing with someone, if you want to know your anartha, ask your wife. Because she's 24 hours with you. So therefore, she is seeing you in all your pastimes. Whereas in the temple, we will be at our best behavior in front of everyone. Dhoti, kurta, tilak, hari bol, dandavat pranam. All these things in the temple, congregation, we can put up. So many acts we put up. But in front of our spouses, we are our real selves. They know exactly what is happening at home. So it is enough to understand outside the temple what we are doing, to know whether we are sincerely endeavoring or not. And when we are sincerely endeavoring there, then we will see the reciprocation coming. For example, I was discussing with a senior brahmachari in our own Melbourne Mahaprabhu temple on Prabhupada's disappearance day. I was sitting with him for prasadam and I was asking, Prabhu, how to develop the desire to chant attentively? How to develop the desire to chant attentively? What to speak of chanting attentively? How to develop a desire to chant attentively? So, this devotee, you know, this brahmachari, he told me that, we have to struggle. There is no substitute for struggle. So whenever the mind goes away, and it was Gurujan Prabhu, we were fresh out of Gurujan Prabhu's retreat. So there is no substitute, alternate, but to bring the mind back. And he said, you know what, when you try to do the struggle, initially you may fail for some time, but suddenly you will get those moments when you feel that the Lord is now started reciprocating. So you can feel that the Lord is reciprocating because you are sincerely struggling. So sincere struggle is the activity. The reward for that is mercy. Even now we are doing this nectar of devotion in our Bhakti Shastri course towards the end. So there also in the Bhava section, Srila Prabhupada mentions that it will come by struggle. There are two ways by which one gets bhava or prema. One is asakti maturing into bhava, or bhava maturing into prema. Or the second one is mercy of the Lord. The first one looks very far out. The second one, mercy of the Lord, again Prabhupada says, this mercy of the Lord will not come cheaply. Prabhupada says, one should not expect an honorary degree from a college, an enter college. One should has to study hard, work hard and struggle in the college. Expecting honorary degree is a demonic, attitude. It's like going to office and expecting perks without working. Obviously we have to work. And when the sincere endeavor is there, then the results will come. Then the mercy, then Lord Krishna comes and gives us that mercy. If he says you are sincerely struggling and he needs to make an adjustment in our life, which will then give us more faith and take us to the next level. You can do that. Does that make sense?
Wife part you want to discuss?
Okay, we'll discuss it offline. Okay. There are no more questions or corrections. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Nitai Guru Prema.
Really, must you render? Shh. ಹೋಗ್ತೀನಿ ನಾನು, ಏನಾದ್ರು ಬೈ ಕಡೆ
ಇಷ್ಟು
నీ గోల్డ్ పట్టుకోలేదు చాలు ఏం పట్టుకోలేదు.